Yes, we are.
Yeah.
You're a challenge once in a while. Amen. You're also a needed part.
All the time.
Of the body of...
All the time.
A needed part all the time for us boys to be completed.
Amen.
Because the body of Christ can't do it just with males.
Come on.
It is not an exclusive club.
Amen.
We need the ladies. But vice versa, you girls need us.
Amen.
Okay? What am I saying? When Jesus came with these elements, he came with these elements and he said, you need both. You need the bread, which represents the body, and you need the blood, because the body without any blood is a dead corpse.
That's it.
And if you're a dead corpse and you feel like a dead corpse, it's time to get over it, because you need some of his blood in you.
Amen.
Flowing through you. Okay? So, there's a season that we are entering in where God is saying, I want you to become complete, but to remember that when he broke bread and he took the cup, he didn't declare it just for that day.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
He declared it for today as well. He said, do this in memory of. Well, have you forgotten who he is? If you didn't, I want you to lift your hands to him. Say, Father, today,
Father, today,
I am really aware of what Jesus paid.
He paid with his body.
And he paid with his blood.
That I would come to life.
And be that new creation.
The minute I accepted him.
As my Savior and Lord.
As my King.
As my Messiah.
As my High Priest.
Hallelujah.
When he broke the bread,
he said, it is my body,
which is given up for you.
He gave it up on the tree
to bring life to me.
He took the cup.
He lifted it to the Father.
Likewise.
I lift up the cups.
And I glorify him.
Yes.
Come, the table is open for your glory, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
common. Carry those in your hearts.
Hallelujah.
That you have already prepared.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Obey him. Obey him. In Jesus' name. On Tuesday, we were going into Philippians, and we were in Philippians chapter 3, and that's where we're returning. Tuesday, we started at verse 12. Today, we're starting at verse 1. And I stress to you the headlines or the heading that is over in the NIV. It says, no confidence in the flesh. Meaning, all you've learned and all you've known in that flesh is usually going to produce more death instead of life. And St. Paul in verse 1 says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Now you say, well, wait a minute, no confidence in my flesh, how am I going to eat? What he's really saying is that his plan for you and I is based and founded in your spirit rather than in your mind where everything rolls around and usually gets you into trouble.
Amen.
Can anybody relate?
Amen.
I often talk about the block of wood that is sitting on top of my shoulders. And if it didn't have any termites, it'd be fine. But it has termites. And it brings all kinds of ugly thoughts, which are not of God. So if I put a lot of confidence in my flesh, I'm going to be in trouble. Now I'm going to skip to verse 7. Whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss, because he advertises who he was in his religious walk. I consider loss for the sake of Christ, or the word anointing, because the word Christ and the word anointing are synonymous.
Amen.
What is more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Some of you have lost a lot in obedience, and you've wondered how he was going to restore, and some of you have restoration already in progress.
Amen.
So I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish. How did he get there? I remember an incident in my own life where I had kind of washed my hands because I had survived a big test, and I thought it was over. Only to learn that there would be at least a lineup of the next involvement of insults and lies. And I had to swallow hard because I was forced to pay something that should not have been my responsibility. But it was forced on me. How many have done things in reverse? And you've just, you know you're going this way, and you're doing it, and you're saying, thank you, Lord, but you don't mean a word of it because your heart is saying, oh, if I could only fix their wagons.
Amen.
And if you did, you'd be in your flesh. So, my wife and I bit the bullet and paid the bill, even if we couldn't afford it. And we rejoice because we made the decision to do this in order to go a little higher. Did it feel wonderful? You're out of your mind if you think it felt good. It felt horrible. Because you see, the lies and the perpetration of those lies continued even after we had left. The insult was twice as difficult to swallow. We found that the Spirit of Truth was operating. When we made the decision to go ahead and do it anyway, and we did it afraid because we didn't know how the next level would come. St. Paul says, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. You see, we could have sued. We could have forced the issue. But instead, the press was, let it go. Let the Lord do what only he knows how to do with a righteousness that comes from God. How many tasted this kind of stuff before? Put your hand up. Look around. You see how this relates to each and every one of you. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. See, the righteousness that comes from man builds you up and gives you a degree. Then you can go and advertise your degree. And you might have as many as there is in a thermometer, but it doesn't make you God or godly. Amen. But it gives you an open door. Now you say, are you against degrees? Absolutely not. That'd be stupid. And I ain't quite stupid yet. I may not know everything, but I do know this. It opens doors and it gives you a better living. Amen. If you can get a job. Yeah. If. Because today's economy, you need the Lord to open those doors. Amen? Amen. St. Paul had all those degrees. Because if you went back and you saw all the things he did, and all of the degrees that he had, he could have been the highest of the highest in the Jewish hierarchy with his background and his titles and his degrees. But he counts them rubbish. Why? Because he had changed kingdoms. He had switched, even if he didn't want to, because you see, he wasn't crying out to God when he was on his way to Damascus. He was looking for another level of titles. And he had his paperwork ready to put him behind prison doors and get him slaughtered if necessary, just to get him out of his hair. Those new believers, they were an irritation to him. How many have got a few family friends that have an irritation? Amen. Please do me a favor. Don't get bent out of shape. Let the Lord take them off their horse. Yeah. Okay? Let the Lord do it. Because if you try to do it, you're going to be disappointed. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. Now that must be a misprint because most churches would not want suffering. Becoming like him in his death. Oh, come on, I don't want to die. Well, how about dying to your own attitude?
Amen.
Dying to what you think is right. You did that when you started the feast, girl.
I'm in the process.
Yeah, but it's ongoing, but you made the decision. See, it starts with a decision. It starts with you and I saying, okay, I don't understand what's next, God, but give me the grace to carry out what is next and what I need the most so that I don't get frustrated. Because we all have a tendency to get frustrated. We all have a discouraging aspect to us. And so did Paul. Becoming like him in his death. And so, somehow, to attain the resurrection from the dead. Oh! You say the resurrection of the dead is because I'm going to die to self now? You wouldn't be here if you hadn't died to self to a degree. Amen. You couldn't walk through the door. How many know that you have already paid a price to come here?
Amen.
Put your hand up if you believe it. Look around. Remember, I said to you, you have to press on. Because you see, our goal is to mature you. Not to leave you as spiritual babies to get happy when you get a new car in the driveway. Not that I have anything wrong with getting a new car. But if it becomes your whole focus of your Christianity, something is wrong. Okay? And I'm not picking on those that live there. That's their problem. It's not yours. But God called you here to grow up. And you're going to find that the Holy Ghost is going to push you periodically to mature. He'll prompt you to change your mind about something. He'll prompt you to awaken a new awareness of the importance of the kingdom being established here in Massachusetts. You say, why here? I'll tell you, why not here? Okay? He has got to have places where he can send the ones that he's preparing to come into this place. And he can't send them in until you and I are a little more mature. And I say you and I because every one of us has growth and growth potential. But we can't do it when we're always offended and always irritated by this one or that one. Or the one that rules the house at home.
Amen.
Thank you. Oh, I was wondering if I was going to get an amen.
That's why I lived out here.
Huh?
That's why I lived out here. To give
Good.
You an amen.
See? St. Paul didn't have it easy on the job at home. In case you forgot, he was in a jail. He wrote those letters reluctantly. He would have preferred to go visit. He didn't like the idea of writing letters. But God had a plan for you and me so we could taste his letters today. If he had been free, riding around all of the kingdom of Rome, building up the body of Christ, which is what he enjoyed doing, we wouldn't have these letters. So God put him in jail for a purpose. Close your eyes for a minute. Say, maybe God's got me in jail. It may not have bars on the windows, but it's limiting me. So that I can obey and become what he's preparing me to be, so that the kingdom will grow in me instead of groaning. I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to be the man and woman of God that he's chosen for a better resurrection that he's building inside of me. Matthew 13:43. Matthew 13:43. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. In the kingdom of their Father. He who has an ear, let him hear. Luke 9:30-31. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in a glorious splendor. Talking with Jesus, they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment in Jerusalem.
You say, well, I don't like talking about my departure. Maybe you're not ready to depart just yet. But when the time comes, I'm sure he's going to talk to you about it. Now, it's not up to you to talk about how you get rid of your neighbor. That's not your job. But Moses and Elijah had a little conference with the Lord about his upcoming departure. You think Jesus needed encouragement? How many think he needed encouragement? Put your hand up. How many think he had it all put together?
Jesus?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he needed encouragement.
He needed encouragement. How many concur he needed to be encouraged? That means he will also encourage you. Because you see, Moses and Elijah had already been through what they needed to experience to encourage him. Now, if Jesus needed encouragement,
we sure do.
Help us.
Help
we
us.
Sure do.
So do we.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
If you and I think that we can do it on our own, you've got a fool for a counselor.
Amen.
I'm serious.
Oh, yeah.
If you think you can do it by yourself, you do not need to come to church. You've already got all the answers. Have a party. Romans 8:17 says, now, if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering. Woo! Wait a minute, that's another misprint, isn't it? Because you would not match the message on average TV Christianity. Got it? And I'm not picking on TV. I'm just telling you, it would not match. But it is part of the word. Amen?
Amen?
How many have tasted a little bit of suffering in the past year? Okay, all right. A good pile, huh? All right. If we share in his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory.
Amen.
It's coordinated. And you may have a hard time trying to digest this message because it was not intended to be easy. But it was intended to let you know that when you have seasons of suffering, there will also follow up seasons of glory.
Amen.
Amen. Ron sent me a little message this week. And how many know you can get jealous of another church? Yeah, you can. Okay? Well, I was in Brownsville, where my brother and his wife graduated from the School of Evangelism. And when I was there, I saw some signs and wonders that were awesome. That was in Pensacola, Florida. I also was the one that was chosen to released this information to my brother and his wife, and they've lived close by ever since. They still belong to Pastor's new church, which is now in a different area. But there was a young man that got filled with the Holy Ghost and dramatically changed because he was high on drugs and booze, done everything that you could ask for from the wrong direction. God brought him to Brownsville, flipped him over like a pancake. He became a lover of Jesus Christ, and today he has a church, and in the church they have jewels showing up. They have gold on the photographs of gold, literally sitting on the pulpit. And they have people dancing and praising God, and they have photographs, and the angels are visible on the photograph. Yeah, wow. Well, I said, Lord, that would be nice to have in Chicopee. It would be nice to have in Chicopee. Tell your neighbor. It would be nice. He said you don't have because you don't ask.
That's right. Oh, come on, Kim. You just go with your bad self.
Knock and the door shall open unto you.
Seek, yes.
So you really want all that?
Let me ask you a question. What would it produce?
I don't think anything.
Jealousy.
Well, if it was straight from God.
Other people would be jealous.
So glad we
brought that. Are you ready to handle the crowd?
Yes.
You think you are?
What would they come for?
Thank you. What would they come for? What would be their real heart?
They would want
to see the gold and the jewels, and they go to the jeweler to have it checked.
But it might also,
if they really knew what was going on.
Depends upon what's in their heart.
I'll tell you what it would do. It would fill the house for a little while.
And then they disappear.
Thank you. Because they'd have their jewel, and they'd have all of what they came for.
Material.
Not a changed heart.
That's right.
You see, where I'm coming from is the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something. We have been a part of the church that is suffering like Paul. But it's not without tasting of his glory to come. And I don't mean that you have to die to get that glory. I'm not saying that he can't do all those miracles down the road, because I believe he will. But you and I will not have selfish motivation at that point.
Right.
See, the selfish motivation is being dealt with now. He's changing our attitudes and our ways of doing things, and he's readjusting us. He's fine-tuning us, and we will be harmonized.
That's right.
It's not going to be like an orchestra all out of key.
We'll get bigger.
It's not a number that I'm looking for. It's the heart of those that do come to be so concerned for each other that they will not focus on themselves. They will be focused on helping each other when they have a time of need. Now, if you mean business, close your Bibles. I want you to stand up. We could advertise about this is my Bible, but we're going to advertise a little higher. Close your eyes. Lift your hands to him. Say, God, I want to be a man.
God, I want to be a man.
And women.
And women.
Full of your intention.
Full of your intention.
With a heart for people.
With a heart for people.
A heart of love. That doesn't quit halfway.
A heart of mercy.
To take in those that are broken.
And love them back to health.
To take those that have been deceived.
And tortured.
Accused.
And found guilty.
And love them back to health. We will be at ER. Where we take care of the patient. We lay hands on them. And they will recover. For the sick and dying. Spiritually and emotionally.
And physically.
Prepare us
to be that house of prayer.
For all nationalities.
All colors.
Without prejudice. With a heart for the Lord.
And to impart in them.
Perfect love. To cast out all the fear.
And all the torment.
That they have tasted.
In the house of God.
In Jesus' name.
I mean this prayer.
To be answered. Because I prayed it in your name, Lord.
And I'm going to rejoice.
And I'm going to give you the glory.
Right now.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. You are the author. You are the finisher. You will complete the mission. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We speak strength and power. Resurrection. Resurrection. Inside. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Would you give the Lord a clap offering?